Oh, hello, and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz. Did you just burp? What was that?
I'm Chris, using my Batman voice.
Oh,
that's excellent.
Perfect.
We have to talk about the Batman voice whenever Bale throws that. The first time he throws it out, we got to talk about
it. Full on Batman voice is about to happen.
Yeah.
So we're doing a special watch along again. We're gonna watch Batman Begins. The plan is to watch the Dark Knight trilogy,
the entire trilogy. Yes. So
we're not gonna do that in this one episode. This is the first. This is just Batman Begins. So what you need to do is go grab your Batman.
Queue up Begins, your Blu-ray. Yep.
Or what I am doing and queue up your Hulu. If you pay for Hulu, it's on Hulu. I do not own. We'll talk about the Brothers Special Editions.
We must talk about special editions.
Okay. Long story. That's a lot of intro.
We got to start it. We got to start the thing. So
yeah,
so
start the thing.
Everybody, get your movie queued up to 1 second, and what you should see is
black screen.
Oh, you see black screen? I have the Warner Brothers.
Blu-ray has more lead-in than that, clearly. Okay. Quite,
yeah, it's out of sync. God. That's all right. You're slightly off. That's all right.
Are we gonna be off? Hopefully not.
No.
I see a wavy Warner Brothers lot. I see the beginnings of it. So if you're on Hulu,
that's like 3 seconds for us.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, well, I got 1 second.
It's okay, we're ready to go. Does everybody have a drink?
Everybody's got their drink.
I do. Good. I have wine. I'm drinking red wine.
When I say go, we're going to press play. So don't, on the word go, you press play.
Gotcha.
So it's going to be 3, 2, 1, go, but not that one. It's going to be 3, 2, 1, go. All right.
We got the waves of the Warner Brothers logo coming across. It's in black and white.
Yep.
Warner Brothers logo
in black and white.
Screen.
And center and Time Warner Company.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. We got the DC lights flashing.
I'm a couple of seconds ahead, I think.
That's all right. That's all right.
Yeah. We got the DC logo right now coming into focus.
Is it all? I mean, it's black and white. Like, is.
Yeah.
And now we got the rushing bats.
I love it.
And the logo. The no title card. Zero titles, just the outline of the bat symbol.
Christopher Nolan is a genius.
Christopher Nolan is a genius.
For those of you who have been paying attention to our podcast since probably day one.
Right, that's not a surprise.
Christopher Nolan is in our pantheon of filmmakers. Like, he is up there at the top with Michael Mann, Steven Spielberg, those guys that have never... Yep. Have we ever seen these kids again?
No.
Who did these kids grow up to be? Anybody?
Yeah, good question. No idea.
Yeah.
Should we look them up? Young Bruce Wayne, what is he doing?
Yes, look
young
him up.
Bruce Wayne. Oh.
And he falls down the well. That had to hurt.
Well, it breaks his leg. Wayne Manor, shot actually in Wales. It's a house. It's a manor house in Wales.
No shit.
Yep.
Good factoid.
Yeah, man. Dude, I know these movies. It's
Well, that's the thing that, like, I mean, there's a lot of content here, but like, Andrew, you're
definitely the
Batman
the expert.
Guy. You're
I have been
Batman
absorbed
is your favorite
Batman.
Hero.
He's my favorite comic book hero.
Bearded Bale.
I mean, this is very reminiscent of them in the prison in the third movie. Like, spoilers.
Yep.
If you haven't seen that, but it's like this is like very shot for shot.
Now, I was cast as Bruce Wayne, I was not a believer.
Oh, really?
For whatever reason, I thought of him. I just did not see Bruce Wayne when I thought of Christian Bale. I just didn't. I wasn't there. But now I can't imagine. I mean, Kevin Conroy is my Batman. The voice of Batman from the animated series.
These three movies are imprinted on my memory. He will forever be the Bruce Wayne for me. Everybody will be compared to him.
So the Andrew and I grew up with the Batman animated series, and one of the things that I really liked that was only a they just touched on it was the period before Batman was Bruce Wayne was Batman, where he traveled the world learning how to be Batman.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he studied with like magicians, and he studied with ninjas, and he studied with like detectives learning how to like
and forensic, you know, people. Forensic.
Learning to do all these things that made him into Batman. And this touches on it a little bit, but I really want the movie of like him learning the skills. Like I wanted the Gotham TV show.
I hated the Gotham TV show for exactly that reason. I want the Batman to be at the peak of his powers, prime.
This is it.
Oh,
this
here is, we, I mean, here we go.
Can't just stop and listen because it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
I have to say that my first time I saw this and I heard the pronunciation of his name, it was so off-putting to me. I was very annoyed by it.
Well, because like
Ra's al Ghul.
They haven't even gotten to that reveal yet. I mean, obviously we're gonna spoilerize this thing to the whole thing.
It's Ra's al Ghul.
I know.
I have a story about that.
I grew up Ra's al Ghul is so much cooler.
Oh my God, so much cooler. I was into this. I accepted this movie for what it was, and I really enjoyed it. Because the Batman that we had seen...
He just said it, Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul. The Batman that we had seen, even the animated series, the Keaton Batman, which I take a little bit of issue with because it feels like Tim Burton's version of Batman rather than a more kind of... Batman. I don't know. I think they're great, and I love them.
This is the purest sense of Batman. Like the,
I think so.
I agree. Tim Burton Batman is like a comic booky Tim Burtonized black and white weird. Like the Penguin is all wrong. Batman's character is all wrong. Like
I don't think they get them all wrong. I just think that
all wrong.
I like Keaton as Batman. I do.
Keaton is the best part. Michael Keaton, and I grew up with
he physically doesn't he can't pull it off physically. Right. I hate that.
Right.
You have to be a specimen who is the perfect athlete, trained perfectly, right?
That is part of the essence of what makes Batman. And there's going to be just so you're aware, listeners. This is going to be 2 hours and 20 minutes of us fawning over Batman because he is
exactly.
He's my favorite.
Except when we make fun of Batman voice.
Oh,
Batman voice is a problem.
Batman voice is it's the worst.
Yep.
Anyways.
I mean, it's...
I like the... But we'd always seen a fully formed
Batman. Where was this filmed, Andrew?
Pretty sure this was Iceland? Glacier in Iceland, maybe?
Freaking beautiful glacier.
Beautiful glacier in Iceland?
I mean, that's the thing about Tim... Like my Christopher Nolan movie, excuse me. It's they're just gorgeous. Like this is a beautiful movie.
Beautiful.
And Hans Zimmer's score is incredible.
I listen to it all the time. Every movie.
The score is fantastic.
Yep.
And it's shot beautiful. Look at that shot.
Look at that shot.
God. It's awesome. Like,
it's incredible. And
so they don't touch on it. They don't even say the words. But in the Batman mythos, there is a place called Nanda Parbat. It's a Tibetan monastery. Well, it's in the Himalayas. It's ostensibly this place where you can go and you can. It's run by the League of Shadows or it's not. But it's always a place where it's like Batman's retreat. He goes there after his. But his back is broken by Bane. He goes there during the year of 52 where Bruce Wayne basically retires after Infinite Crisis. This is the image that
Jesus,
you know, and they never even talk about it, but this is Nanda Parbat. this is the place where Batman really kind of formed. Well,
and if you're a fan of the Arrow series on CW, like the League of Shadows is a big part of that. Like Ra's al Ghul is a big part of that. And then Talia al Ghul is like a big part of, she's not in this movie, but like she's a big part of Batman's life because they fall in love. Like she's the other woman besides Selina Kyle in Batman's life. So like this is part, I mean, this is like deep Batman lore, and this is the first time after, this is the first time in any Batman movie we're seeing this, and it's like all over the comics. So this, like, this respect for Batman's actual lore and lineage is incredible. Like,
let's take the comic books seriously.
Yes,
it's like this is the movie that really did that. I mean, X-Men did it to some extent. The Sam Raimi Spider-Man, they're like, you know what, we're gonna look at the comics and it's gonna be source material.
I like to think about comic book movies. Like, I mean, this is one of the forefronts of like comic book movies. Like, this is the new generation. This is the Iron Man, and this movie came out within a couple of years of each other, and it was like the, hey, we're gonna do comic book movies differently and take them seriously and set them in real worlds and make them have good characters and like take from the source material more, like. Like, there's so much source material about Batman that's so interesting. Why not we use it? And that's what they did.
I mean, Liam Neeson, before his Taken days, he is just a physical presence. He's a big boxer. Dude. He is over 6 feet tall. He clearly, he is a guy who knows how to handle himself. And he brings that physicality to this role that we see in Taken so much, but
that's a really good callback, because this is really the first movie where he is like an action guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, he did Darkman, but
that's not really
No, but I'm saying like Darkman, this is the movie where it's God. Like he is an action guy. You can tell that it's Bale and Liam Neeson doing these fights.
I don't think I can remember another movie that Liam Neeson did that him physical like this before Taken. Like,
I don't think there is. Maybe
5 years before Taken.
What's the, he was a Jedi.
Oh yeah. He was a badass in Phantom Menace. Qui-Gon.
He's kind of awkward though. He's awkward.
He's not a natural
laser sword. Yeah,
he is not natural about it like Ewan McGregor was. And Ewan McGregor was a natural as, you know, wielding a lightsaber.
Not everybody can paint, Andrew.
I agree.
Okay, Michael Caine, probably the best part of this movie. Just
he's one of the best parts of any movie, Zen brother. Michael Caine starting his long tenure being in Chris Nolan movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in, I mean, Chris Nolan's made, 10 movies? And I think Michael Caine's been in 8 of them.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, you try to think of filmmakers that have their actors that they take with them everywhere. And it's sort of,
it's definitely that for
Michael Caine and Christopher Nolan. And it's like Johnny Depp and Tim Burton. And Bill Murray and what's his name?
Think about Leonardo DiCaprio and all the movies he's done with Martin Scorsese. They did five movies together.
Yeah, exactly. Wes Anderson, that's the director.
Okay. Yeah,
Wes Anderson and Bill Murray.
If there's any part of this trilogy or any part of this movie that, upon looking back on, I kind of wish had a larger role, is we really don't get anything with Bruce and his mother.
Oh yeah. There's
very little of Bruce and his mother.
She just sits there and smiles.
She clearly
are the pearls. She's a pearl. She's a pearl delivery device
for the most part. And I mean, I love the Gotham City. I mean, it's not New York, it's not Chicago, but it is like the American, it's the American city, you know, the American kind of crime infested city. I love it.
Industrial.
Yep.
But
very kind of has gone through
cosmopolitan kind
of rebuilding.
It's a different look for Gotham too. Cause it's like a realistic city that
the Gotham we'd seen before this with Tim Burton's Gotham was completely constructed on a soundstage. Like,
yeah,
he had an idea of what he wanted to look like, and now we're shooting in real places.
Der Fledermaus.
So in the this is sort of a deviation from the comics too. Is like in the comics they went to go see The Mask of Zorro.
Yep.
And they left early because he was afraid. The same thing. And I appreciate that, but it's sort of like they made a change here, and it's
kind of on the nose, right? It's on the nose.
It's on the nose. The comics are on the nose.
Chris Nolan is not really known for his subtlety in a lot of ways.
So I mean, yeah, the opera with bats is on the nose.
Yep.
Oh, I see. I thought you were saying Mask of Zorro was on the nose, which
it is. No. The opera with bats is on the nose.
Yep.
Mask of Zorro is, you know, he's a rich hero that puts on a mask to help
protect his identity. People.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like similar kind of a story, Batman-esque. Is it the same actor in The Dark Knight, or
that
later?
Plays Joe Chill.
I guess Joe Chill's only in this movie. I'm blending the movies together a little bit.
It's been years since I've sat down and watched this movie.
Start to finish. That's what I'm saying. Is like I feel like
years.
I think I've watched The Dark Knight probably the most because that's definitely the best of these three. But this movie's fantastic.
Look at that.
I mean,
that is Batman.
That is incredible.
That right is there. Batman.
Right I mean, there. that the set dressing is incredible, and that shot is haunting, and you really feel this moment, and you should feel this moment because this is the difference between this movie and the Tim Burton one is like that they gloss over that so quickly. And that you like feel it. It sucks.
The trauma visited on this kid is just incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the filmmakers.
That's part of the reason for me why Batman is so interesting as a character and a hero is he takes this trauma, this enormously painful event in his life, and he tries to make something positive about it. It's not an original thought, and I'm not the first to say it, but he could have easily gone down a road of self-indulgent violence for violence's sake, having experienced what he experienced, but he tries to turn it into a mission where he actually benefits people rather than just a self-indulgent like revenge quest. But it's deeply personal for him.
Rutger Hauer.
This guy you meet him and you're like, okay, this guy's going to be a jackass in this movie.
Yep. Bad guy.
You don't trust him.
Rutger Hauer, like he's really good at playing jackasses.
Corporate jackass.
You don't trust him.
You just don't trust him.
Michael Caine, you trust immediately.
Yep. Except in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
That movie's awesome. That movie's so fun.
That is a good movie.
It's a great movie.
So absurd.
Oh, man.
Like, Ruprecht!
Ruprecht!
Ruprecht! Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my God. Oh, so good.
So good. Okay, so what is everybody drinking? Chris, you have wine?
Red wine, yeah.
Patrick, are you drinking something?
I'm drinking tequila.
There you go, but like you're sipping on it?
Well, no, I'm drinking a Paloma, which is grapefruit tequila.
Oh yeah.
Okay. That's not just tequila then. That's a cocktail.
Yeah, I am
cocktail.
I am drinking a Truly, a lemonade hard seltzer cuz it's in my fridge.
Can I talk about something that Chris like something that I just heard that I
love
like
that the imagery of the ice and the earth is just awesome.
Oh, okay.
So, how do they identify these locations? It's incredible.
There's a thing that I don't want, like that Christopher Nolan does that's really interesting. That like I don't know. I want more
as a director.
Yeah, it's a theme that goes throughout these movies and all of his movies. is he keeps the song going through, even though they're cutting through, like, it's not a montage. Like they cut from
Christian Bale ripped.
Christian Bale ripped. They cut from like him being a kid, and the song begins, and then it cuts forward to him as an adult, and then training, and the song is one song. It is a musical theme that goes throughout these scenes, even though time is passing. It's not a montage per se. This is definitely a montage.
But no, like, other you know another movie that does it perfectly is Pride and Prejudice, one of my favorite movies.
Yes. Oh yeah.
It's like Pride and Prejudice does exactly the same thing.
The song begins the in the earlier scene, and then it just keeps going throughout the next scenes, and then you keep going. It is especially prevalent in The Dark Knight, but you can see it in these pieces where it's like
the music just carries through this whole montage of training.
It gives it an extra kind of narrative kind of flow.
And
that's the thing about like Hans Zimmer that is incredible too. Is like Hans Zimmer is. He is the top of the.
He is good as it gets. Him and John Williams are probably as good as it gets.
John Williams hasn't really done much besides Star Wars in the past 10 years. So.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer.
I mean, anything Hans that Zimmer's Steven Spielberg in. Does.
Yeah.
So Christopher mentioned ripped Christian Bale. A little piece of trivia about Christian Bale for this movie. The movie he did before this was The Machinist, where
he famously lost
like 60 pounds and was this emaciated person. And then he got cast in this movie and he put on so much muscle so fast. He actually got too big and they were like, okay, we need you to lean out. You've put on too much muscle mass.
He's got
to
be a ninja.
Exactly. So you can kind of tell there are parts in this movie where he is very bulky and has a lot of muscle on his frame, and there are other parts of this movie where he actually looks a little more slim, like he's stopped consuming 5,000 calories a day and he's not lifting heavy
lifting for 4 hours a day.
Exactly.
What we really didn't know about Christian Bale until this point, because like I don't think he was like as famous as he is now for sure, but like he is committed to making these kind like to making his movies. Like he is all in. He's a great actor.
He will physically change his body. He's that kind of actor.
Yes.
Like
when
he did that movie with David O. Russell, like the crime movie set in the 70s or whatever.
American Hustle.
With him and Amy Adams and Bradley Cooper. He put on, you know, he got a beer gut.
Shaved his head. You know, he's like, yeah.
He goes there. He likes to physically change for his roles. So. Just the firelight. The blue and the.
Yeah.
Blue and the firelight on his face. Yeah. It's amazing. I love Nolan, how he plays with time and different timelines. And.
Well, that's the thing is like. The
flashbacks and everything.
Like that. This movie could have been told in a young Bruce Wayne
linear. It could have been linear, but it's not.
And then you see him grow up, and then you'd see this scene, and you flash forward to him like leaving, and then going to China, and then doing that whole thing, and then the training montage. But that's like 40 minutes in. Instead, how far are we into it? We're 21 minutes in, and we're getting pieces of the training,
his childhood,
childhood, the things that lead him to leaving Gotham. But so we're getting three stories at once instead of one, and that's the difference between Christopher Nolan.
There's a literary term for that, and it dates all the way back to, it's all the way back to Homer and how he structured the Iliad and the Odyssey. Well, the Odyssey especially, because the Odyssey actually starts with Odysseus in some king's court. He's been captured and he starts to tell his tale, and then it flashes back and allows Odysseus to tell the tale of how he ended up in that king's court. It's Latin, and I can't remember, but it translates as in the
middle.
Yeah,
I know what
you're
talking about.
Yeah, so in medium something. So it's the device of we start with Bruce in prison in China, and then the main
as an adult. Yeah,
as an adult, the main plot of the movie starts there. And we learn things along the way.
We start with Bruce as a kid, but then he wakes up from a nightmare from him falling into the cave.
You're absolutely
like,
right. Yeah.
It's sort of like, and I love that he does that. And they even call back to the cave later, you know, when he decides to go
probably
in there.
That moment when we get to it, that moment in the cave, probably my absolute favorite moment in any of Nolan's trilogy.
All right, there's going to be no talking when the bats start to fly around
him.
That's
probably
what we have
to favorite great moment. Yeah,
it's an incredible shot.
Weakest part of this movie, Katie Holmes.
I was just about to ask, what do we? Because we know she's replaced in the second movie. The drama with Katie Holmes is this is right before she like married Tom Cruise and they had a kid together, and she became like,
well,
you know, a tabloid.
Do we know
picture
why she was replaced, or is it just rumor? Because, like, I don't really know. Like, did she ask for too much money?
She was good in this.
She was okay. I mean, Maggie Gyllenhaal. I think Maggie Gyllenhaal is a lot better in The Dark Knight.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is a better actor.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Hmm.
Christian Bale really working those bangs hardcore.
You know, and the theme of this movie starts to come out where it's like he wants to take revenge, and revenge is murder. And then later, I mean, I don't want to ruin it, but like obviously you've watched this before, but like he's confronted with killing someone else for justice. Murder is not justice, and then. But that's the only Batman movie that even touches on this, because like even Tim Burton's Batman, he kills the Joker. He's okay with killing. And then Zack Snyder's Batman kills people. And so this is the theme of the movie, is like Batman does not take life. He does not. That is his
cross. And that's what traps him with the Joker.
Yeah.
How much better? I mean, we'll get into The Dark Knight and all the complexity of that when it comes up. But this is the beginning of that, where
the beginning of that is like
he is ready to commit murder.
Right, he's about to kill his parents' killer, which it feels right. Like your parents are killed, you want to take revenge. The justice system failed you. Just do it. You have nothing to live for. You know, but like. Like Katie Holmes's character talks him out of this, which is
he can't take revenge.
He's
denied it.
I forgot about that. Man.
He wants to watch.
Yep.
It's sort of.
He can't get there. He can't get the closure that he wants.
Yep.
He had to do it.
Man, the layered storytelling and like character struggle. This is why this movie is incredible. And Christopher Nolan is just a much better director than Batman has ever gotten.
Yep.
We're in Chicago or somewhere, I think.
I think it's Chicago.
That's Chicago, I think. Yeah.
I mean, they shoot all of Dark Knight in Chicago, but I think they shoot externals for Gotham I'm going to look it up. In Chicago. I have not been to Chicago. Has anybody visited Chicago and, like, explored Chicago?
I haven't explored Chicago, but I've been to Chicago on the river. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Never been. I want to go. It's one of those great American cities that I haven't seen.
You got to go. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You know what I never really got from a Batman movie that I wanted? I wanted him like just fighting or organized crime. Like the mobster is the big boss. You know, it's like a simpler, smaller movie, because that happens a lot in the comics. He's always dealing with little crime and like
Well, that's this movie, though, right?
Well, I guess you're right.
Falcone is the mob boss.
Right, yeah, but he's like a smaller
right.
villain, I
that's
guess.
Right. He's the preview. He's the mini boss to Ra's al Ghul. Yeah.
So I guess the one of the best Batman series that I've read is like the A Long Halloween, which is about a serial killer, but it's entrenched in this mafia mob like storyline that is really interesting, and it weaves in and out. It's complicated, and there's all these like human characters that are dealing with things. It's one of the best Batman stories ever. And Falcone is actually one of the villains.
He is one of the villains. That's a good thing we could talk about. I mean, we're talking so much about this movie and there's so much we could say about it. Do you guys have a favorite Batman comic book?
I just said mine for sure.
The Long Halloween
is so good.
Christopher, do you have a favorite Batman comic book arc or graphic novel?
Mm-hmm. I like the Court of Owls
arc. Oh yeah.
Oh.
Much more recent, but yeah, yep. Scott Snyder.
Oh, I haven't read it. Oh yeah.
I haven't read it either.
Yeah. I like the Court of Owls.
You're gonna say Court of Owls over all Batman stories? Like that's something I should go pick up.
I haven't read enough Batman, frankly, to know or understand.
Court of Owls is great though. They adapted it into an DC animated film in the last couple of years. Pretty damn good.
I would say the best Batman stories are The Dark Knight Returns, Batman Year One, Killing Joke.
Hush. I own the
Hush
collected
is really
Hush.
Good. That's a good modern take on Batman or semi modern.
I need to read that again. It's on my shelf.
That's really good.
Wisdom.
Yep. This is something that I like that they touch on, the fact that part of what informs him putting on the mask is the fact that he is incredibly famous. I mean, he's the Prince of God. Everybody knows him. He's one of the richest men in modern America with the internet and with 24-hour cable news. I mean, yes, someone will put two and two together. So he's really got to find a way to protect his identity. And that makes sense to me. That's another motivation for putting on a mask is the fact that, yes, he is one of the most famous men.
He's got to protect people that...
And doing the voice.
He's got to do the Batman voice. Otherwise, people will know he's Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
That's part of the reason why I liked about Man of Steel is the fact that Lois Lane figures out that Clark Kent is the Man of Steel. She's an investigative reporter.
That's stupid that Lois Lane never figured that out in the comics. She takes the glasses off and then... great character actor right here. My
seriously, incredible actor in who plays a Russian and tons of stuff.
Yeah,
he's
awesome.
He's in The Saint, which like people kind of hark on that movie, but I love that.
I like that movie.
Saint.
I love The Saint. It's fun and he's a great villain.
Go ahead.
Let me get his name. Who is
he? He plays the wheelchair bound sniper in Shooter.
Oh,
really well. Remember that?
Trebeggia.
He's good.
First name Rade. Rade. Raid.
Rade.
First Rade. Name and last name is Serbezija. 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 He's awesome. You will recognize him in so many damn things.
So, like, I mean, this is part of it where it's like he wants to commit crimes to learn from criminal, learn how to be a criminal.
Yep.
You know, he gets thrown to prison, Chinese prison.
He's got to experience.
And then we're back. Like we took a 15-minute detour, and we're back to the ninja training. It's awesome. So, I mean, this is sort
magical
of
fear, the magical fear plant.
Magical fear plant. But like
well, it's the hallucination plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is what leads him. This scene is what leads to the character making the decision about not to kill. This is like the final stage of training, and
he refuses to kill some. Refuses to be an executioner.
Yep.
Yep.
That's the line he won't cross.
Cool. That's part of Batman too, that like people, you know, that's why the Scarecrow is such an interesting villain. It's Batman has no fear. He fears no one. He fears nothing.
Yep. You know?
And it's an interesting like sub theme about this movie. Is like no other Batman movie talks about his fear and Batman not being afraid.
It's a character study.
It's character study.
Other Batman movies.
To Nolan, again, we go back to this theme a lot, but Nolan, all his movies examine the human condition, right? Batman is the ultimate comic expression of the human condition because he's a superhero who's a human. He has no powers.
Right. Like, Iron Man becomes superhuman with technology, like his advanced mind.
Well, and he also gets nanotech and all of that shit, right?
Yeah. So. He becomes super strong, but like Batman never becomes super strong. He never becomes super fast. He will always be hurt by something, or if like he can't just that's part of the thing that like you start to. I would love to see Christian Bale toe to toe with Henry Cavill. Because I thought think that would have been an interesting, like him,
yeah.
Like Nolan's take on that would have been really interesting. There's a lot of flaws with Batman v Superman, and but like that exists in the comics, and it's this interesting idea about like Batman isn't as strong as Superman, but he's smarter. He's way smarter than Superman. So that's
he has to make. Do or push himself. The only limit he has is that he won't take a life, but everything else he will compromise and push himself. And yeah, it's just it's the incredible kind of will that he constructs, that he will never, you know, he can't allow himself to be defeated.
Yeah,
it's pretty incredible.
It's
Well, mentally. I mean, he can be physically beaten, right? So
he can.
That's part of the issue is that mentally he's the strongest one in the room at all times.
All the time.
And that's an examination of the human condition.
Yep.
What can we control?
Yep.
There was always going to be someone stronger and faster. And that is sort of the window into Bruce Wayne's training is that how do I train myself and prepare myself to be, you know, the ultimate sort of deliverer of justice? Knowing that there's always going to be someone stronger and faster.
Or that there will always be an organization that I'll have to face. It'll never just be me against one other person. Yeah.
Well, and it's, me like, against... it's like this over-daunting thing about like organized crime and like corruption. Like police corruption, like he might have to fight police. Like,
oh, yeah, how do no, I escape
from, like he does have to fight police. And yep. It's sort of like, how do I?
Important moment right here.
Oh, yeah. This is, yep. This is,
because the League of Shadows logic is kind of unassailable.
It really is.
Yeah. It's sort of, this is the big narrative. They're doing a couple of things right now. The big narrative about, we're going to send you back. We're going to send you back to Gotham to overthrow it because we understand it needs... Because, like, the League of Shadows...
Cleansing.
Yeah. League of Shadows...
Humanity is generally bad.
yeah, wants to do things to help people usually, but in the worst possible way, about murder and destruction and cleansing. You know, it's like the, you know, it's Nazism. You know,
fascist. I mean, there's a lot of fascist undertones with Batman as well.
Yeah,
I mean, he is completely
vigilante.
He's a vigilante. He, you know, he operates outside, you know, democratic norms of society. He just does what he wants because of his own singular code.
Mm-hmm.
The great, but I mean, we have Liam Neeson here doing his thing, but Ken Watanabe as the
what a great actor.
He's
so good. Another one of Christopher Nolan's mainstays who appears in multiple films of his.
Oh yeah, he's in Inception. Well,
and we haven't even talked about what about the costume design?
Oh yeah,
I mean it's awesome.
Yep,
it's costume, dude. He does this, and then all of those guys behind him are about to fight him, and he's okay with it.
Yep.
But I
love the utility of it, though. Like, you see, I mean, he's definitely a ninja, but he's wearing this, like, leather kind of, like, you know, jerk
armor.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But he's definitely as fast as he always is. But it's the utility of it. It's not just for, you know, and then the gauntlets designed to for a style of sword fighting that, you know, involves the arms as kind of shields and things like that. I love it. It's like he builds his exterior throughout the movie. I mean, that's a major theme, and all these components go into it along the way of him building the bat suit, the look of it.
Oh, I love the building montage of him, like, making the suit, doing the Batcave. All, I mean, that's coming up. I keep jumping ahead, but
well, there's so many moments that we've imagined in our head in terms of what we want from a Batman movie, and this movie delivers on that.
Delivers it. Yep.
Yeah.
Delivers it.
I love this. I love this, like, curl he does.
You have to, I mean, the strength that this would take, you have to be insanely fucking strong.
Insanely strong.
Insanely strong.
You're curling
220 pound person.
Yeah.
With one arm.
Cliff with one arm. Yeah, no, you have to be insanely strong. But you believe it, because, you know.
You're Batman. The guy is Batman.
He
again,
pushes
it's
himself.
It's the will. And then he uses leverage to he uses his body to lift him the rest of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, so I looked it up. They did shoot this scene in Iceland.
Ah.
On a glacier.
So they built this?
They must have built these, like, huts there, or whatever, but
yeah.
Yeah, no, it's shot on location in Iceland.
Beautiful location.
Private plane just shows up.
Yeah.
In bumfuck China. Yeah, he made a call. Yeah, and
I don't remember this scene at all, so I'm listening, but
yeah, I remember this scene. This is where he tells him that he had him declared dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he has to be a symbol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. There it is.
Symbol.
That's part of what he learns from Ra's al Ghul.
Legal Shadows, yeah.
Is that a symbol has so much power.
Also what Falcone said. callback to that. It's just a smart script. It's brilliant. It's just like, here's the beats, here's the problems. Batman is the solution.
Objectively, it's fucking nuts. I'm putting a suit on and going out and fighting crime. It's fucking
nuts. It is nuts.
And the hubris, I mean, the ego that you have to say that, you know what, I can make a difference myself. I'm not going to trust anybody else with this. I have to do it. I mean, that's just ego. Cillian Murphy, who also, you know, is in almost every one of Christopher Nolan's movies.
My glasses are, one pair of my glasses are just like those. I just realized that.
Did I buy them on purpose to look like that?
I think I did. It was in my subconscious.
Yeah, maybe.
Wanted to look like Scarecrow?
Who remembers Dawson's Creek? Did anybody else watch Dawson's Creek besides me?
God, no.
I watched some of Dawson's Creek, but not all of it.
That's how Katie Holmes got her start, man.
Katie Holmes, Dawson's Creek.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the only one who walked away from that with like a real career. Like,
I mean, the guy who played PC Witter had a pretty good career.
I mean, he was on Fringe.
He was on Fringe.
He was great in Fringe.
Yeah, and then he was
he's in The Showtime Affair or something.
Yeah, Showtime show. I never watched, but
no.
Said I don't have Showtime.
I forgot about that. She just kissed him.
She kissed him on the cheek.
Did she whisper, or was that a kiss?
Here we go. Building up to my favorite moment.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a lift, like, directly from the comics. He encounters a bat in his house.
Yeah.
And it, like, leads him.
So happy that Nolan included it.
Yep. There's a version of the comics where the he's trying to come up with the idea of, you know, his persona, and the bat like crashes through the window and scares him, and he was so startled by it that he like it became like the image of
the shot of him like going down into the where he fell as a child.
Yep.
He remembers. He's remembering.
Mm-hmm.
While confronting the fear that he felt. He says it later, but he was scared by all this as a kid. And that stays with you, man. Things that scare you as a kid, things that scare you as a kid, they're hard to get over. These images, you know?
I think it's awesome that, like, Batman exists because, like, Bruce Wayne was afraid of bats.
Yep. We're getting to the moment. My favorite moment in any of these movies.
It's just like quiet and there's no music.
Well, it's starting to build, though. Just, you can hear the tone kind of underneath.
Just sort of like quiet cave.
Yep.
Yeah, here it is. He's going to disturb the bats. Boom.
And the music comes up.
Yep, music.
That beat.
Again, weighty moment. He's like, yeah, I'm not afraid.
He's conquering it. He's pushing through his fear.
And then they circle him.
Yep.
God, what an awesome scene.
Seriously, it's an amazing...
See how the music carried through to this scene?
Well, that was that undertone. It's that narrative flow. It's all. He's just slimy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Cillian Murphy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well cast.
Yeah.
Has he ever been, like, just a leading man, like Cillian Murphy? I don't know if I can see him like that. Let me see. I guess 28 Days Later. He's had an interesting career.
Yes. Always the touches with the train.
That's the part that really like makes it Gotham, is the fact that the train is running everywhere. A train that doesn't feel like any other train in an American city. Not quite a subway, not quite an L.
Oh shit.
He's dead? He disappeared.
Huh. Army Bruce Wayne.
Mask that he actually wears. The shallow playboy.
Spoilers for the last scene, the movie, Andrew.
Yeah, right.
It's a great way to construct a. How did he acquire all that cool shit?
Yeah, because I mean,
it's realistic. It's like, it's
realistic.
Hey, he a kick-ass billion-dollar company is going to have a research and development department.
Yeah,
you know, supplied military contracts and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's the best.
I mean,
he is completely natural in everything he does. He is just.
Think of how much weight we have in this movie. Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, Christian Bale, like.
Rutger Hauer.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Just his acting chops brought to a superhero movie.
Yep.
You know?
It's like, let's take it seriously. Let's get real actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A director who has. Chris Nolan had.
Characters, has a good script, interest, like character struggle, like this is like real. This is like, let's take this seriously.
There we go. The beginning of Batsuit.
Like, how would a Batsuit work in modern times? I mean, it's a great explanation. It's a great explanation.
Yeah, they're not gonna. Yeah, the U.S. Army. I mean, the U.S. Army has piles of cash. They could set it on fire, but outfitting every infantryman with full body armor at $300,000 a pop. Yeah. Unlikely.
Buff. Always a secret elevator.
Always gotta have a secret elevator.
I love that. And it like kind of like it does a little hand waving. It's like, how do you build a bat cave in your house? Like, this would take like hundreds of man hours and construction workers and stuff. It's like, no, it's like it already existed. He just added to it.
He builds it himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
fact that it's not a, it's matte. It's not like a shiny,
right? Matte black.
Reflective, like the light will catch it and reflect back at you. It like absorbs light. It's dope. If they have any issue with like the realism of Burton's Batman, it's like, why are you going to build a totally black suit and then have you have the yellow bat symbol on his chest?
Yeah, right.
I'm like,
it's easy to see in the dark.
It's easy to see in the dark.
That's part of the appeal of Batman is he's a ninja, you know.
Yeah, he just shows up. He's like in the shadows. I love the fact that a lot of the times that we see Batman, he's like he's crouching like on a wall or like or like, you know, in a corner or something like that, like kind of shrinking away. He's not
quiet and reserved. He doesn't like bust into a room and like make a lot of noise. He's like, you know, he's alert.
He's like a creature a little bit. He's like a gargoyle, right? Rather than like, you know, Batman, you know, Superman drops in through the roof and he, you know, he's bigger than life.
So let me talk about Commissioner Gordon for a minute. This line he just said was like,
yeah, I mean, Gary Oldman. Come on, can we talk about Gary Oldman first of all?
Incredible. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. He's
the acting chops right now is incredible. But like Commissioner Gordon, modern times, especially with like, okay, we're talking about this, you know, in 2020, but it's sort of cops unwilling to rat out dirty cops. It's a little bit topical, I would like to say, but
really realistic, dude.
It's realistic.
There's a blue line.
Yeah, and
he's caught up. I mean, no,
unwilling to rat, and it's sort of this interesting idea about like like he's waiting for Batman to come along to make okay.
The reality is. Commissioner Gordon needs Batman because he's
not commissioner in this movie, right?
Well,
right.
But
Lieutenant Gordon.
He is caught in the system. There are limitations to what he is. I mean, he has a personal code of honor. He won't rat out cops, even though that he knows are dirty, but he is still.
He also won't. He's not on the take, right? That's the whole point of those scenes is that he has a code.
But he's caught up.
He's an honorable guy.
Yeah. But a cop who's the purest sense of being a cop, all laws that are broken, he should confront or want to resolve or whatever, bring to justice anytime he sees a lawbreaker. But his personal code dictates to him that he won't rat out other cops. And he begins to understand that the Batman is an ally because justice is more important. This piece of tech is dope.
I mean, it's the longest explanation of why
Very
Batman
dope.
Has a cape. It's like,
it is. But I mean, he'd want a cape. He'd want to be able to kind of
glide,
especially if he's gonna,
because he's learning about his craft, right? He just jumped off a building and
it's
hurt himself.
It's pragmatic.
It is pragmatic. He needs it.
Yeah,
within
to
the
be able to jump
of...
off a building.
Oh yep. God, the greatest thing in.
Is this the best Batmobile ever?
Why wouldn't Batman just drive in a tank? Why? Yep. Why not?
An extremely fast, you know, awesome looking tank.
Yeah.
They really built this thing. This is like a real car.
It's awesome.
Yep.
I mean, if you had all the money in the world, Andrew, would you want a Tumbler as your vehicle to just drive around in?
Probably.
Would you just want this?
Probably.
I mean,
it'd be so fun.
I think it'd be so fun to drive. I mean, it looks humongous.
Yep. It's badass.
Do you think that would fit in a lane?
A little too wide.
The music begins. You hear the music begins.
Yep.
Now.
It's a sequence of scenes that are connected by the thread of the undercurrent of the music.
Yes. See that? See that? Yep. Now you understand the Christopher Nolan, like... Like, they never come back to this. I don't understand this scene. Like, why do they show that his mask breaks? Why do they show that they have to get 10,000 more? I don't understand.
It's flavor to fill in the practical realities of Batman as a human being who's got to construct sort of all the stuff that he uses, right? He's got to...
I was hoping it's a callback to something later, but it really isn't.
No, there are practical problems in the creation of a superhero persona, one of them being he's got to rely on people to make shit for him.
Yeah.
And sometimes they screw it up.
My favorite.
I love that touch. I love that piece.
My favorite bat symbol, by the way.
We just missed the...
I agree.
We missed like the explanation for Batman. Why bats?
Like
bats frighten me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's time my enemies share my dread.
Oh my god! It's such a great line. The writing in this movie is incredible. It's just very, very good. I feel like we do much better when the movie's bad, because then we can rip on all the scenes. But this is just like, hey, isn't this scene good? Isn't this scene amazing? Aren't these actors great? Like. I mean, that's what we're doing, but it's sort of,
I mean, I think we had a little more fun with Rise of Skywalker just because
it's easy to poke holes in that movie.
It's kind of a goofy movie on the whole. I mean, it's still Star Wars and we still love it, but it's kind of a goofy movie.
It's still Star Wars and we still love it. Everybody relax.
Yep.
This movie is...
Nice scarf, henchman.
This movie is artistic.
Oh, yeah.
Nolan is artistic. Rian Johnson in The Last Jedi is freaking artistic.
100%.
Yep.
We already did Rise of Skywalker, but we should definitely do a...
I agree. We should do that.
Last Jedi watch.
Yep.
I appreciate this scene on a comic book level because Batman exists in the shadows and
This is the first time where it's a total culmination of all his training, all his imagery, everything. This is the first instance of it.
How far are we into this movie? We're an hour into it. We're halfway into the movie, and Batman becomes a thing.
Is it? Right
now. Yeah. I mean, the badass physical, you know, Batman kicking seven dudes' ass at once is great, but this is what he has in mind. Like, he scares the shit out of these. He is a monster.
Mm-hmm.
He adopts his persona of being a complete monster to scare these people.
Yep.
It's like a force multiplier. I mean,
So I'm going to tell you like a real life story about me going to the theater and watching this scene, and this guy right here, he's like shooting and then he yells, "Where are you?" And I'm going to tell you what happens after that happens. Cause like,
shit your pants?
No.
No, okay.
There was a woman who was sitting next to me who gasped. She was scared.
It's a great scene. Where are you?
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, she was actually afraid of Batman.
The way this is shot is perfect because it creates that disorientation, right? If this was a static camera, he would just look like a normal human trying to kick ass. But the way this is shot and all the cuts and everything, it's like he's a disorienting blur. It's just perfectly executed.
Well, and then like if it was Zack Snyder, it would be this great action scene of him like fighting everybody, but that's not what it's about.
Right. It's about disorientation.
Yeah. Oh, call back.
Bam!
Yep. Hey, everybody, it's Batman.
That's it.
Batman. Yeah. I'm Batman. The voice. I
mean, that
was the first time of the voice.
That train looks like shit. I wouldn't want to ride in that train.
It is kind of a New York subway kind of vibe.
I mean, that's worse.
Yeah, we can speak with authority on that because we were in the New York subway.
Look at that. That's terrible.
He gets scared away. The Batman voice.
Oh, yeah, Batman voice.
He would recognize people's voices.
Yep.
And she would definitely notice his voice.
Yep.
She's known Bruce Wayne since they were kids.
Yep.
If he spoke his natural voice, she would know him immediately.
I love the, like, in the animated series, Batman just will be talking to someone, and then he'll disappear. And I love that. And then this, Batman's just talking to her. She looks away for a second. She looks up. Batman's gone. Very cool little touch. Yeah. Very, very awesome.
And, so, and the reality of him disappearing like that is that he dove off the platform.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to do it.
Yep. Yeah.
Bat symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Music builds. Iconic shot.
Totally iconic.
I mean, just... awesome.
Big ass cape.
Uh-huh.
One guy or a creature.
Love the idea. I love the idea that it's like they don't know. And it's something that Tim Burton did right is the criminals are afraid of Batman. They don't know what he is. He's got this presence that is like unhuman. Like, so they stop being criminals because they're afraid, you know?
You know, force multiplication. It's like engaging. Yes. It's what Ducard says at the beginning. We can teach you how to engage 600, because this is one of the scenes where he is very visibly bigger than he was in other scenes.
Like Christian Bale.
Look how wide his fucking back is. And then look at he is so big. He is so big in this scene.
Yeah.
He is much more lean in other scenes.
Oh, look at, could you do push-ups like that? I couldn't.
Hell no. He's pumping them out.
Who could pump?
The fact that he catches himself, he drops on his tiptoes and catches himself.
Yeah, it's strong dude.
It's insanely strong.
Yeah.
I'm sure that, like, I don't know, if that probably wasn't even in the script. My guess would be is, like, it was like, and he, you know, he drops to the floor and begins to do push-ups. And Christian Bale's like, here, I'm going to do this. And Christopher Nolan's like, go with it.
I hope so.
That would have been dope.
Christopher Nolan loves to do this too. It's like a character's talking about something that's happening, and while he's telling the story, we're showing the thing that's happening.
He always marries exposition with
he
doesn't just give us parallel
imagery.
He doesn't just give us exposition.
Instead of just saying the thing, let's show the thing. You know.
Yep.
Lambo.
I love this. He's got two supermodels.
Big smoke shows to show up for dinner. Wearing a ridiculous $5,000 suit, probably.
I love this idea of he just goes to dinner.
A bunch of rich idiots.
Yeah, bunch of rich idiots talking about.
The legend of the Batman grows. Every part of Gotham begins to embrace him. He times him here, but he's not like a dick about it. He's like just. He's an asshole, but he doesn't. You know, he's like, he's not like, you're fired, shut your mouth. He's like, you know what, we're just gonna have some fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna do what I want.
And this, he probably lays $100 on this punk kid.
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
absolutely, that's tip money.
That is
C note.
Yep.
C note.
Oh, Rachel.
He hasn't seen her.
Yeah, how messed up is that?
Yep.
I mean.
She did slap the shit out of him the last time they saw each other.
True. He's afraid to talk to her.
Yep. He's still a kid.
He sees her and he's still a kid. Well, that's what you start to like think about with Batman is in the Christopher Nolan Batman is like, she's a liability. She's a risk. He has to protect her. By being Batman, and she can all, especially in the second one, the Joker uses her against him, and he knows it, and he's got to keep her away from him, and he loves her, and it sucks.
Yep, still a man.
So.
That's the fuck. This movie.
Great.
That great line right there is the theme of this movie.
The script is very, very good. I mean, yeah. I have to go to the restroom. Keep talking.
I like the fact because there's symmetry, right? They choose a fear-based villain to be in the movie that is framed around Batman's origin based in fear, right? I like that symmetry.
Yep.
It works. Where Scarecrow is not your, like, I mean, I guess Scarecrow is in the pantheon, the top pantheon of villains for Batman.
He's definitely not top tier, though.
No.
I mean, you would put, of course, Joker. I mean, he's the greatest villain in all of comics, probably. Yes. Most recognizable. Joker, Penguin, Catwoman. Those are iconic villains. Scarecrow is definitely second tier, if not third tier. I think that would put even Mr. Freeze and
Bane. I don't know if even Bane.
Bane's got an iconic look. That he's like the most physical threat to Batman that's ever been in the comics. But yeah, choosing a villain that informs the hero's journey,
mm-hmm.
the theme that you would pick for a movie like this. Gordon as a family man.
Yep. Taking out the trash.
And he just appears like he's just a gargoyle. He's like a creature.
What a miss.
I mean, we continued watching the movie.
Well, what you missed is we commented on the fact that we like the fact that Scarecrow is the is one of the main villains because it's the symmetry of fear, right? And that it wouldn't have been like Scarecrow is not top tier Batman villain. It's sort of second tier Batman villain. But elevated to this original, this first movie in the trilogy because it's around people's fears, right?
Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. And like mastering so that, your Batman voice.
Batman screamy voice.
Batman screamy voice. No, I love it.
I never really noticed. It's a choice to put him like in the rain here, right? Like he's, you know, it's raining. They could have controlled the weather, but they wanted a scene where it's raining. They wanted like to him, you know, Batman to be covered in rain, dripping.
It's like it looks cool for one, and I mean, that's a lot of money to make, like, a rain machine.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, what would be the reason why that they would do the rain? Because I don't see, other than it looks cool, I don't know what the benefit of that imagery is. I don't know how it enhances Batman's look.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, it's not, like, an indelible image of Batman from the comics is Batman being, like, on a rooftop in rain or something like
yeah.
that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just cool looking.
There's a device.
Yep.
Oh, bummer, dude.
The Narrows. Dead.
And then the district cool attorney occasion. gets murdered because, I mean,
yep.
things are yep. starting to change, but they're not going to change quickly or easily. Or easily, you know?
Yeah.
You know? They touch on like the Batman tech in this movie a little bit, but like the second movie has a lot of Batman tech.
Oh, hey, Jack Gleason goes on to play Joffrey in Game of Thrones.
Hey,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, look at that little kid. We all kind of hate him.
Yeah, he turns into one of the most despicable villains in all of television history in about
he's so young 7 years. And cute.
And he's then so young and cute.
Batman just like good to kids.
Good on him that he was in this movie and then is in Game of Thrones. That's badass.
Right. Yeah.
He's pretty legit.
Yeah.
He kind of, last I heard he was saying he was going to retire from,
walked away. He went to university. From acting. Like
yeah. He was like sick of it. Being a child actor is tough.
Batman's just lurking in the background.
He's right there.
He's Batman. He's a goddamn ninja, man.
He's a goddamn ninja, man.
We have our title. Episode title.
No. The episode title is The Brothers Keep Watch Along for Batman Begins.
No, he's a goddamn ninja, man. That's the title. Goddamn
ninja, man.
All right, we can call it.
Oh, yeah. You're a dumbass. A lighter to have light in a room you filled with gasoline. How stupid is that?
Criminals are usually pretty dumb.
You're right.
Oh, the pun.
Stuntman lit on fire.
Yeah, man.
Pretty hardcore.
So I guess maybe the rain saves him. Like, if it wasn't raining, he'd have been burned to death, maybe?
True, he rolls around. Well, he's also got the suit on.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's no exposed skin other than his face. His face might have been burned.
Could have been.
Yeah.
It's sort of, they create this low moment where it's like, Batman has a victory, but then he loses and he needs to call Alfred for help. You know what really sells the scene for me, though, is like Michael Caine's face in a minute here. It's like 30 seconds away. His look of concern is so good that you're just like, oh, shit, this is it's incredible. Right.
Is that a cell phone?
That.
Yeah.
It's just literally a 3-second shot, and you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you hire really good actors.
Why do we fall? Right?
Yeah, dude. Another, like, callback and brilliant theme.
A lot of like epic sweater wearing by Alfred and other characters.
He's English. The English love their sweaters.
They really do. You're not English. You love your sweaters.
Sweaters are comfortable and amazing. And look at that tie. He looks like a gentleman. Come on.
He does look like a gentleman. 100%.
Oh shit! It's Lucius.
Morgan Freeman, just. Amazing in everything that he does.
Dropping.
Clever,
knowledge.
Clever, funny.
The tone is perfect.
Yep. You wouldn't expect, a slightly elderly black man to be kind of the comic relief in a movie like this, but he absolutely is. He's the witty kind of,
He's witty and charming and
he brings a little bit of lightness to it. An otherwise very kind of like dour movie. There's not a lot of joy. For kind of like Marvel decided obviously early on that they're going to be witty and funny and,
they're a lighter tone.
They set
the tone really with Iron Man because Iron Man is a funny, quirky,
Batman doesn't lend itself to being funny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's not quirky and.
Except they did exactly that in the 60s. So,
I mean, we haven't talked about the Adam West Batman, but like the Adam West Batman is a low point for Batman for sure.
In my opinion, it is.
A lot of people love it, but I think it's a travesty. So,
I think it's funny to make fun of it. Like it has its merits because it's ridiculous. Not because it's good.
People loved it.
People loved it.
They still love it.
I love that she's driving like a 15-year-old
Ford Taurus.
Ford Taurus, man.
Yep, that's a Taurus.
It's such a garbage car.
That's a garbage car. If you own a Ford Taurus, I'm sorry.
She's a government worker. She's a government worker.
Yeah,
government
lawyer. That drives a Ford Taurus.
Secret passage.
I mean,
he leaps into action.
He was feeling like shit. Like 2 hours ago.
He drank some Alka-Seltzer, man, and he's ready to rock and roll.
Good to
go.
Good to go.
It's time to Batman it up.
I'm going
to
put this shit, I'm going to go fuck shit up.
Yeah, I'm Batman, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The cowl.
Things together, the plot coming together of the supervillains.
What a dick. Hello?
Oh, yeah. You hear me?
I can now, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All
we
right.
Lose you? Will you lose you for a second? I
was just watching it.
Yeah, no, watching it was silence. We were all silent.
We were all silent. Watching. Just watching the movie.
Yep.
That's the thing about watching a compelling movie is...
I know, right?
There's nothing...
There are scenes where you don't want to talk over it.
Yeah, you just... It just enjoy let it the happen. Movie. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
It's really interesting.
These scenes with her, I think she's good. She's compelling.
I don't think she's bad. I just think that Maggie Gyllenhaal is better. I definitely don't think she's bad. I just think Maggie Gyllenhaal is better.
She's no good.
Not true.
So
he's just a complete just skis. You could just like.
What do we know about the Scarecrow in the comics? I never really.
And he's tiny. He's got to be tiny. She's taller than him.
He's a very. I mean, Katie Holmes is not short. She's a tall woman.
I remember really? From the Scarecrow in the cartoon growing up with was like him trying to drug
tall and gangly in the cartoon, right?
Football, like he's drugging a football stadium. Do you remember that? Like the Gotham Knights.
He's like a he's a psychiatrist who
yeah.
You know,
but what's his end goal?
Wronged.
Like, what's his end goal in the comics? What's his?
Katie Holmes is 5'9", so
she's not short.
She's not short at all.
So he's got to be like 5'6".
5'7".
5'6" or 5'7", yeah. Oh, well, that can't be good.
She's wearing heels because Cillian Murphy is 5'9" as well. So she's taller than him because she's wearing heels.
I see.
Mm.
Oh, shit. It's a great mask.
It is. He's not really afraid.
Well,
no, is he excited? He's excited.
He's excited by the prospect.
Yeah, he's excited about it.
I loved it. I love this thing about, you know, the villains are afraid of him, the criminals, the henchmen.
Yeah, the henchmen are all afraid.
You know,
the leaders are not afraid. They are nonplussed. Oh, yep. See you later.
That's just a wild image. I mean, he looks like, I mean, you know that the tech exists and how the tech is working to, like, make it appear that he's flying through the room.
Yep.
But it's just, the image of it is just amazing. Like, I mean, literally, this is the...
Yeah.
If you had an image of what what Batman should be like in real life, this would be it. This is how Batman would be in real life.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
Oh, the ultimate in Batman voice right now.
Yep. The Batman voice turned up to 11.
I mean, that's pretty scary.
Yep.
Mind broken.
Yep. I mean, completely fucked.
Your brain is crushed.
Yep. Scrambled eggs.
Seriously.
Scrambled egg brain. 100%.
This, I feel like this scene kind of happens in Batman Year One. He gets trapped in a building. The cops are afraid to go in. It's about him trying to escape, creating like a.
Well, it's the distraction.
The distraction to get away, you know. And I
love it.
I love the attention to the comics, the really, really good stories in the comics, and
Gordon's not afraid. He goes in.
Gordon's not afraid because he knows
Batman is here to help.
Yeah, the Batman's here to help. Exactly.
Yeah. What?
Really great sets too. I mean, like, this building is incredible, and it's really dark and moody and. What is this device do in his boot? Does it call bats to him?
Yeah, it sends out some kind of
sonic
pulse that they respond to. I mean, bats use.
Are there bats just all over like Gotham, or are these calling him?
Absolutely, they are under bridges and shit, dude. That's for real.
Sure, yeah,
sure.
There are bats everywhere in cities.
There's bats everywhere in cities. Really?
Yes.
Huh.
There's bats here in Tucson under bridges.
The music and this
theme. The music's incredible.
And the fact that, I mean,
this is such a weird thing to happen.
It's all like he plans out this entire sequence in his head. Like, he throws the thing down, it drops in front of him. So it appears like he's commanding, like their brains would make the decision that he's commanding these bats to do this. Like, they're so compelled
where
by what they see.
The science of it is probably just that signal confuses the bats,
yeah,
and puts them into a frenzy, right? It's not calling them. It is all the bats in the Narrows are now completely confused and totally worked up.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he's using all of this imagery to his advantage, disorient and fear and create fear and
superhero landing.
The superhero landing.
Joke of Deadpool that
superhero landing.
Yeah.
Belt's not black though. I just noticed that.
I love these two guys. I love these two guys that just look at each other like
they're like, did a 6 foot bat just walk through the room, or are we off our meds?
What did we just see?
We're off our meds.
We're off our meds. We didn't get our evening meds. And here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the best scene in this movie of a movie that's amazing.
Yep.
Like,
let's just run over a cop car.
Oh, did that kill those dudes?
Oh, they're alive.
Those are the guys he drove over. Black tank.
Oh, right there. I don't know, though. I don't know if they'd survive.
They ducked down. They're okay. Are you guys watching this on DVD or Blu-ray?
Blu-ray.
These are Blu-ray special editions. Does it look just amazing, the colors and everything? Amazing.
Oh, yeah. No. The surround sound. My surround sound's kicking right now. It's awesome. Yeah. Definitely Chicago. Definitely exterior shot in Chicago right here.
Yep, that's Chicago.
I mean, are helicopters able to fly down streets like that in Chicago? That's insane to me.
Yeah.
Look at that.
It's wide enough.
They did for this movie.
I mean, I think you would do it, but like you got to be a pretty good damn pilot, right? I mean, look at that. There's like buildings all around you.
Batman has no regard for property damage. He just does what he wants.
No.
I'm going to wreck a bunch of cars. I don't give a shit. It's just cars.
That is true.
Yeah, some like insurance guy is going to have to
like... I can't, dude. I just think about the fact, how the heck are you going to make a claim for your car being
destroyed?
Why do you
make a claim for that?
Batman damaged my car.
Batman ran over my car.
Would your company pay that claim?
Yes, because it's if you have the right coverages.
Oh, you hear that? You hear that?
Yeah, qualifier. If you have the right coverages.
If you have the right coverages,
insurance, dickhead.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Hey, it's a contract. I enforce and interpret the policy.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. I mean, this is not CGI. This is miniature work.
Yep.
So it looks really good. I think that like we should go back to miniature work as like a standard. I think it looks so much better.
I don't know about that.
Little known fact, you guys might know this, but I didn't know this until recently. For Blade Runner 2049, they used a lot of miniatures for exteriors.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, that's what they did for the original was miniatures, and it holds up, dude. You watch original Blade Runner, and you're like,
that looks really good.
It looks really good. It holds up because miniatures hold up. CGI doesn't hold up, man. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of the exteriors are miniatures in Blade Runner 2049. It's not all of it's built in a computer like you kind of would expect. I mean, basically, he's lucky he didn't kill anybody in this whole sequence.
Luck is not a factor.
I mean,
they're flipping cars and shit.
Oh, that's true. These
cars crashing. They should have somebody would have died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely could have been very severely injured.
Yep.
I love that. I love that he goes quiet, stealth mode engaged.
Stealth mode.
That man's got all the tricks.
Wait, and the highway goes dark.
Right?
He's always got a plan.
Awesome, dude.
She's good in that scene.
Say what?
She was good in that scene.
Yeah.
That look she makes.
Yeah.
I can see her acting. That's the problem with Katie Holmes.
I can see her acting.
Yeah. I get that she has appeal and I think she's attractive, but no, I see her acting. It doesn't work. Like Anne Hathaway. I can see Anne Hathaway acting. We're going to get to that when we get to Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Anne Hathaway, I can see acting.
Really critical, dude.
Anne Hathaway, like, swings for the fences way too much.
He really does.
She's good in Les Mis, though. She can really sing.
Oh, talk about swinging for the fences. Jesus Christ.
I mean, you have to swing for the fences in Les Mis. It's not movie, a subtle yeah. It's not a subtle movie.
Not a subtle movie.
Yeah. Les Mis is kind of on the nose. If you're a fan of Les Mis, like, there's nothing subtle about that.
I like Les Mis. I like the Hugh Jackman Les Mis.
People like to hark on that mostly because of Russell Crowe, I think, but I like that movie. People, I think that movie's like an easy target.
When I saw that movie in the theater the first time, this is my quick story about Les Mis. I saw the movie in the theater the first time. It came out at like Christmas time or whatever, and I went and saw it. And first time I'd ever, at the end of that movie, when Hugh Jackman's dying and they're singing and like his daughter finds him and everything else, there was a group of people behind me of mostly women that were legitimately sobbing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sobbing.
Like, because it's like, a good, because it's a good it, story. But like,
it's not just emotionally, like tears. Like,
it's a good story, like, with good music.
Audibly, like, sobbing. It was incredible to me.
It's a good story.
You just have a cold heart, dude.
Oh, no, man. I loved it. I was moved. But, I mean, I've cried in movies before. And, I sobbed through, I'll admit it 100%, I sobbed through, I think, my first time I saw Endgame towards the end of that. Like,
sobbed in Endgame?
Oh, yeah, dude. Tony's funeral? Sobbing. The first time I saw it, I was
definitely some crying.
It takes a lot for me to cry from a movie. I'm trying to remember the last time a movie made me. I'm a cold-hearted person when it comes to film.
Son of a,
this can make me cry. I can get overwhelmed by the moment.
I'm trying to like something got me. I get teary-eyed. I never like sob.
Oh, I tear up at the end of The Dark Knight Rises. I've teared up at the end of that.
You tear up at Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, a little bit. Man, there's a couple moments where you get overwhelmed.
That's a true blue Batman nerd right there, 100%, ladies and gentlemen. 100%, the guy who cries at Dark Knight Rises.
We're all going to cry when we finish this trilogy.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne
tied his own bow tie. Who taught him how to tie a bow tie?
Alfred.
Alfred did, of course.
Bow ties are not that hard, Andrew. Like, he's a genius.
Dude, I don't even know how to tie a regular tie. I don't know.
Batman's a goddamn genius. He doesn't need someone to help him.
I have to look up how to tie a tie every time I tie a tie on YouTube.
Come on, dude.
That's because you're a fucking knuckle dragger, dude. You're just
up your game, dude.
Oh, man. I hate ties. That is something I will never want to learn.
Have you ever worn a suit like this, like a straight up tuxedo, black and white?
Sure, I've been to proms
with a clip on.
Yeah, definitely wore a clip on tie to my proms in high school.
Nice.
But I've never.
It's not nice. All this talk. I'm gonna wear a bow tie to work tomorrow.
Do it.
Yep.
Are you are you wearing that in front of your computer?
No, I am actually going to work tomorrow.
Okay. You should wear a bow tie. You're a VP now. You should, you know, rock that shit.
Not yet, but
okay. That's coming.
TBD, Andrew. TBD.
TBD.
I mean, Cillian Murphy's pretty good too.
Dude, everybody's good.
Yeah.
Can't stop it.
Can't stop it.
Nope. Can't stop the signal. He's 30. This is his 30th birthday party.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's like the peak. That's like the peak fitness, right? Is like you're in really good shape. You have an experience. Like you're starting
to break down yet?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once you get into your mid to late 30s, things just start to hurt more.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we get to in The Dark Knight Rises, right? It's like 10 years later.
Yep.
Body's starting to take his toll.
Well, considering he's been physically punishing himself for years.
Well, that's that they touch on this in the comics, but I mean, he's kind of immortal in the comics and without pain. But they like they show it a few times here and there of like Batman's really scarred up. He's really jacked up. He's. Do they ever like
talk? That's right, lady. You're pronouncing it wrong.
He's pronouncing it wrong. Ra's al Ghul. It's Ra's al Ghul.
Here's the story that I have about this.
Ra's al Ghul.
So here's the story I have about this. This movie came out. Uh-oh, the big reveal.
What's the Ra's al Ghul story, Andrew?
Ra's al Ghul story is this. So this movie came out, and like 2 weeks later was San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm.
And we went this year. And I went to a panel that Jim Lee was on with a couple other DC people.
Oh, yeah?
And there were multiple questions about, and there, you know, people were asking Jim Lee and they were asking Frank Miller questions or whatever. And there was a question that came up.
Frank Miller, Batman. Oh, my God.
What's that?
No, just Frank Miller is like, I mean, he's known for his Batman stories. So
exactly. So he, I don't know if he was exactly on the panel, but there was an All-Star Batman released right around the time this movie came out. All-Star Batman number one. Jim Lee wrote it. Jim Lee drew the art. Frank Miller wrote it. Anyway, I went to this panel and there was a question posed to like Dan DiDio, the managing editor of DC Comics, about the mispronunciation of Ra's al Ghul as Ra's al Ghul. He's like, there wasn't a comic book. There wasn't like a DC person who knew the correct pronunciation that was on set that corrected them. Like it got brought up to the DC people in a Comic-Con panel because they pronounced the name wrong through this entire movie. And really? I was in the room.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, this is the modern times of movie watching is, you know, you make a mistake.
Nitpicking bullshit.
And everybody will rip on the little things that you got wrong.
Still goofing on it 14 years later.
This is brilliant when you start to see everybody leave and you start to see all the like goddamn ninjas in your room that are.
Yep.
They that infiltrate. Are not leaving.
Yeah. They're not moving.
They infiltrate. That's their whole power.
Amusing but pointless.
Yep.
Do you think Batman could take all these guys? I mean, he's goddamn yes. Batman.
Yes.
He's the goddamn Batman. The master plan coming together. Ooh. This, the third act is beginning. Yeah, we're speaking of, you know, third acts. And where's Hannah tonight? She didn't want to watch the movie?
She chose to abstain. She's got a lot of reading to do, actually. She's reading some scripts and novels, but... This is some deep cut Batman shit that we're watching right now. So,
yeah, it just embraces the. Literally, it's. I mean, that's a little known. That's not little known, but that's a bat. The guy who just came out, bald headed guy. You can see some tattoos on his neck. That's Victor Zsasz. He's a serial killer from the Batman universe, and the tattoos that he has, he gives himself after he kills someone. It's a way he keeps track of the number of murders he's committed.
That's a Batman villain?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a serial killer.
I love that like attention to detail.
Yep.
How would we rate Ra's al Ghul's goatee?
I mean,
on a scale of 1 to absurd, it's pretty absurd.
I mean, why do you need the Fu Manchu?
It's a little
like the
little,
wings.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's not great.
I don't like it.
It's not great.
Yeah. It doesn't look good.
It's definitely supervillain facial hair, though.
It is supervillain facial hair for sure.
Like you walk into a coffee shop and you see that guy drinking that cup of coffee, you're like,
yeah,
that guy's got a plot to blow up a building.
You're evil. You're evil.
That guy's gonna blow up a building.
It's like Ming the Merciless, dude. That's the callback.
Totally
right?
Ming the Merciless.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Oh my god, Flash Gordon is incredible.
We should do that movie. Holy cow!
Oh my god, we should do that movie.
I suggest
that we do Flash Gordon or the Last Starfighter.
We got to do Last Starfighter.
Last Starfighter for sure.
That would be so fun.
That ticks many boxes for
so many boxes.
Brothers Geek. Yeah,
it does.
But Flash Gordon, we got to do that.
I can't remember. I don't know if I've ever seen Flash Gordon all the way through. Maybe
really?
Once. Maybe once.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It's a terrible movie.
It's so terrible, it's awesome.
Yep.
I don't agree with this. It's like, you burned my house and left me for dead. Like, left him with a freaking thing on. Like, he helped him out of the house that was burning.
Seriously.
Yep.
That's not justice. You're gonna die.
Not at all.
Like, really jacked up that there's, like, police, like, League of Shadows guys in police uniforms. It's really disconcerting.
That's what they do, man.
It is a problem.
They're a cult.
Mm-hmm.
They're sleeper agents.
She's quick to act. She's a smart one.
She's as much of a hero as he is. She is not afraid.
He walks through the fire like a.
There's lots of. I mean, there's big hero. Christian Bale obviously has big heroic moments when he plays Batman.
What are my favorite lines of the movie right here? like, perfect. That made me laugh in the theater. Laugh out loud. And he just looks at him and he's like, I can push a log? Like,
don't be a pussy. Lift off your chest. You're a freaking superhero. Let's go.
Yeah, you're Batman. Come on.
You're the goddamn Alfred, Batman.
Alfred
saves Bruce Wayne's life twice.
Wayne Manor.
Dejected Bruce Wayne.
The theme comes back.
Yep.
Never.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of like inmates of an insane asylum break out, like a criminal insane asylum.
Call out the right year.
Hold off the city and get the police to get stuff in order. That's for sure. That I mean, that subway looks like shit. I wouldn't want to ride that subway either.
Nope. Yeah, that's true. The interior, that's bad. New York subway is a lot better than that these days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Not much to say, though.
Oh, look, it's Jeffrey. That. Yeah, fuck that kid.
Yeah.
Hey, there he is. Not a cop.
Not a cop.
Not a cop. She's standing like 5 feet away from Ra's al Ghul. How do you say it?
Raz. Raz.
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's. Raz.
It's confusing.
Ra's al Ghul.
It's infecting.
Oh. Uh-oh. Ra's. Okay, this can't be good.
Yeah. Smoking makes smokers in.
Yeah, let's just give everybody a fear toxin, nerve gas.
Of course.
I mean, this is some comic book level supervillain.
Yeah, I mean, this is just going to create panic and like disorder, and just,
there is
like
a huge plot hole associated with it.
What's a huge plot hole?
Human beings are 70% water.
Oh yeah. Would it just like vaporize
We would explode.
We would explode. That's absolutely correct.
All the humans close.
Now I can't ever watch this movie again. Damn it. This movie's completely ruined.
Christopher Nolan ruined everything.
Hold on. This another amazing kind of Batman moment's coming up right here.
What's the amazing Batman moment?
We'll get to it.
Oh, I
forgot that they cut away to him like gearing up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The gear up scene.
Every Batman needs every Batman movie needs a gear up scene.
Gear up scene.
Here it comes.
That's an iconic action movie scene.
Yep.
The hero gears up.
Oh, I love that he's riding a horse.
He just jumps the river.
Is that the scene you were talking about?
That's the scene I was talking about. The music swells.
It's awesome.
You know, he jumps across, the timing of it all. It's just, it's a fun hero moment.
It is. It is good.
And exploding everybody's bodies because we're made of water.
You know,
I can't. I'm never gonna. Okay, it's totally. It's ruined. Ruined.
If you stand near that thing, or you just explode.
I'm sorry.
I'm totally fine. It doesn't bother me. Shit like that.
Batman villain Scarecrow defeated by a woman with a taser. By the way.
Good job.
Yeah. Good job, woman with a taser. She's not a damsel in distress. She takes care of herself. Well,
I mean,
maybe the microwave emitter works differently on the organic compounds that the waters are mixed with in our bodies.
Parsed out how the microwave.
Trying to help you, dude. I'm trying to help.
I'm poking you. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's a construction in the superhero movie.
It's
I don't
fine
give a shit.
With me. I honestly don't give a shit. Yeah,
I honestly don't give a shit either.
Wouldn't the villains be like? Ramped up fear and panic too. Like even if you're crazy,
maybe. Yep, Jack Gleason, young Jack Gleason.
I mean, he's in a bunch
of. He got to play a scene with Christian Bale and Katie Holmes.
Dad, he's acting there.
He really is.
No, he's a good actor. Oh, look at Katie Holmes.
Here we go. The callback.
Oh, I love that. Love that.
Yep. And the music. Seriously, the...
Bam!
Yep, it's just...
Hans Zimmer. Hans Zimmer doing it.
Chills, man. Chills.
There's so many moments that are just awesome. Yeah. Where they just get they get everything right in terms of how you would want a Batman movie to be.
Look at that. He's like, oh my God.
And this isn't even the... screaming. He hears the people screaming from Batman.
Yep. And this isn't even the best movie of the trilogy. And it's
not the best movie of the trilogy. I mean, at least Liam Neeson is following the wear a mask rule, you know?
Wear a mask.
Exactly.
Save a life.
Save a life.
Good job, COVID guy. Oh.
Yep.
If there's anything lacking from this movie, it's some good kung fu action. The cuts are too quick. I understand
why they do it. I would have liked to see Batman kicking ass a little bit more because he is such an ass kicker.
Oh, yeah. I think it's effective the way it's cut. I think it's
effective too. But I mean, the long fight scenes of Zack Snyder's Batman. I don't know. I like that a lot too. It's just a different kind of movie.
Batman whooping ass and Batman v Superman is pretty fun.
Yep. Especially the Ultimate Edition.
Oh yeah.
Here we go. Time to release the toxins.
Batman and his magical grappling hook.
That's science, dude.
Totally science.
I watched an episode of Mythbusters about the sewer manholes and pressure and the exploding gases in the sewers, and that would actually work. If there was pressure was actually built up, the manholes would pop up like that. So that little movie magic is
believable.
Pretty believable and cool. Wanted to say that.
There's water mains under the street, right?
And methane starts to build up in the sewers, and that's the explosive gases. But
those are water pipes, though, not sewer pipes. So,
oh, you're right. Well, manhole covers cover
our manhole covers to get down to the water pipes.
Why would you need to get down to the water pipes? You get down
because they're fight. Underground,
boss
dude.
Boss fight. You guys are talking over the boss fight.
Here we go.
Batman destroys the train's controls. You don't know why.
He's always got a plan. Would you guys, if you guys lived in it, I mean, Patrick, you lived in Portland, which had the MAX and stuff like that. You rode public transit.
I rode public transit like this.
Would you, if you guys lived in a city with public transit, would you ride it like a train a lot?
Yeah, I ride the
I lived in D.C.
That's right. That's right, with the Metro.
I rode the Metro every day to work when we lived in Northern Virginia. Absolutely. I never drove.
I would absolutely find a way to ride a train every day.
I read the paper for 30 minutes. I read the paper for 30 minutes every morning going into work. It was awesome.
I love not worrying about parking or driving. You
totally
just hop in the metro and like safe public transit is awesome.
It is 100%. Yeah.
Driving your own car.
Totally.
And even here in LA, the public transit's kind of limited, but I really enjoy riding the train certain places, especially when you have to worry about parking or how to get there, or like it's overcrowded. Like,
yeah,
if it's an option, I totally use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't mind walking a little bit, you know.
Yeah, not at all.
It's good for you.
Batman's plan.
So
Batman's always got a plan. I want to debate this moment.
Let's debate this moment. Does Batman leave him to die? Is that Batman killing him?
But I don't have to save you. And he just leaves him. I mean,
Is it
the same as murder? Did he murder him?
It's sort of, I feel like this falls under the you see a train and it's headed for five people and it's the trolley problem. Exactly. Yeah. You change the tracks to the one person and like his inaction leads to a death.
Yeah.
But it's not directly murdering someone. He's not like taking a sword and cutting off his head, you know?
Yeah.
He still's killing him though.
Right.
But he's giving him a chance. I mean, he's giving him a chance to jump out for sure.
The trolley problem
is you taking action, choosing between bad outcomes.
Yes. Two bad outcomes. And what is the lesser of the two outcomes? He's choosing to do nothing. And that, he's killing someone.
Yeah,
in action.
Yeah.
So it's debatable, Andrew. I mean,
that's the line that we said that Batman doesn't cross, is he doesn't kill people. Is it a murder by other means just because he doesn't take action? I mean, he does not kill the Joker. He has multiple opportunities to the Joker die, and he doesn't do it.
The correct response would have been him taking him out of the train and then giving him to the authorities.
Yeah.
As a criminal. But they rectify that problem in The Dark Knight.
Bruce Wayne taking his company back. Lucius Fox is now the CEO. All is well.
See you later.
Oh!
The memo.
He seals up the Batcave.
That entrance to
it. This scene I remember being like when I was in the theater, really interesting, because it's like she decides to not be with him because Bruce Wayne is not Batman, is not the mask. Bruce Wayne is the mask. And there's very few movies where I'm like sitting there and I'm like, wow, that's smart and brilliant. And Christopher Nolan is smart and brilliant.
Well, it's not an easy answer because Batman.
It's not an easy answer. It's brilliant. It's so well written.
Yep.
And
it's far more conflicting or nuanced than Tarantino's soliloquy on Superman, right?
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a harder call.
This is a harder
if it's Bruce Wayne or Batman.
The hardest call.
Where Tarantino's soliloquy, Bill's soliloquy on Superman is 100% right. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's in Kill Bill Part 2,
well,
by the way.
Well, this also is really interesting about, like, Bruce Wayne is not Bruce Wayne anymore. And I love that. This is so
well, nuanced. That's a theme that runs through the best versions of Batman is that there's a great line from the Batman animated show, actually Batman Begins, where Bruce Wayne, he knows that he's not hallucinating because his identity is Batman. It's not Bruce Wayne is what he projects to the world, but he identifies himself as Batman. So that is, and the, like, there's three we get three versions of Bruce Wayne. We get the real version that he's with Rachel. We get the outward kind of playboy persona that he puts out to the world that, you know, people would never associate the frivolous celebrity Bruce Wayne with the Batman image. And then there's Batman. There's actually three characters that Christian Bale plays in this movie. It's pretty great. It's his performance. And all three of them feel different.
I love this. Just the way it was.
Definitely a little bit leaner in this scene. You can tell that he's not nearly as broad.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Still hella fit, though.
I mean, he's hella fit. He's Christian Bale, but he's not.
Yep.
Beefcake, beast mode.
He's not beast mode.
Yeah, he's not beast mode there.
Yep. He's like, yeah, I'm very in shape, Christian Bale, but I'm not beast mode, Christian Bale.
Yep.
I look like a guy who goes to the gym, but I'm not a pro athlete.
Nothing like a movie leading into the sequel like this scene.
It was such. I remember watching this in the movie, thinking, "Oh, holy shit, that's awesome."
That's completely awesome.
That was my immediate reaction as well. Holy shit, that's awesome.
Yep.
And they get the theme exactly correct. Escalation, that's the theme of the next movie, is the fact that Batman exists.
Yep.
They talk about that in Civil War of, like, power. Superheroes breed escalation. As soon as there's, like, superheroes, there will be supervillains, you know, and I love that.
Yep. Because he doesn't do it for the glory. He does it because it's his mission.
You never have to.
Batman. And the title card at the end of the movie. I love that. I love when Christopher Nolan does that.
The music is incredible. And yeah.
Yep. It's a great movie. It is a great movie.
I don't know how fun it was to listen to that, but like, because we're just fawning off of it the whole time. But
yeah, we're fawning over it the whole movie. So.
It's
fun for us to watch.
Anyone else, so that's good.
Well, yep. I appreciate it. I mean, thanks for listening. If anybody listens to
Thoughts, boys, on Batman Begins.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch The Dark Knight with you guys.
It's been years since I've watched The Dark Knight all the way
through. We gotta watch that.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we'll plan that in the near future. Look for that.
Yeah.
Watch this space.
Yeah. So
again, it's the beginning of Nolan.
every second that he's in that movie.
That's very possible.
Very possible. Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening if you listen this far. And
listeners, wear a mask, be a hero.
Yes, wear a mask.
Be a hero. I should plug us a little bit.
Yep, do the out. Do the out.
Listening.